grave of the hidden and the unseen. And this part specifically, matters of the hidden and the unseen of the future, matters relating to the day of resurrection and what will occur therein. And last time we had some points concerning the Sirat and concerning Al-Shafa'ah. So who can remember what is the Sirat? The Sirat, as mentioned in the book of Creed and Belief that we have been learning, what is this Sirat? Indeed, a bridge over the hellfire. Who can remember how the people will cross it? In what manner will the people cross over that bridge?
With varying speeds depending on their deeds. For example, some will pass like a light, the speed of lightning, some like a fast rider, some will even walk and some will crawl.
Yeah. Indeed. We mentioned that people will pass over with varying speed. In accordance, at least their speed will be in accordance with their deeds. The deeds which they did in this life. The better their deeds were in this life, the faster they will cross. And the fastest of those who cross will be those who cross like a flash of lightning. And then some who pass like the wind, some who pass like fast horses, some who pass like camel riders, some who pass like a person running, a person walking, and finally the slowest being those people who crawl. They crawl across. We also have the important matter of Ash-Shafa'ah. Who can remember what Ash-Shafa'ah, as Shaykh al-Fawzan explained, what Ash-Shafa'ah means in the language? Simply, what is Shafa'ah, what is this process of this thing? Shafa'ah, what does it mean in the Arabic language? So obviously many people, from the many terms which people misunderstand or misuse, this is one of them, Shafa'ah. So it's important with terms like that that we understand what the term means in the Arabic language, and then what the term means specifically in the legislation, in the technical sense. So what does Shafa'ah, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, what does Shafa'ah mean in the language?
Mediate for something good. Yeah.
As Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, it means someone mediating or interceding for someone else in the life of this world, someone mediating on behalf of somebody else for some good cause. That he mediates on somebody else's behalf with someone else for a good cause, or it could be for an evil cause. And Shaykh al-Fawzan gave an example of an evil cause. That would be an evil cause to involve oneself in and trying to intercede about it. What was the example he gave for an evil intercession in the life of this world?
The
Shaykh al-Fawzan gave the example of someone interceding to stop the prescribed punishment being established upon someone. For example, if someone, a thief, has been caught and the punishment is being found guilty and the punishment is given, that his hand is to be chopped, and then a relative of his or a good friend of his, they come along and be trying to intercede with the person in authority and say, let him off, he's not such a bad person, let him off, basically because he's a friend or a relative, so let him go. This would be an evil intercession, an evil mediation. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, moved on to intercession in the hereafter. What does intercession mean with regard to the hereafter? Because again, this is a point that people misunderstand greatly. So what is intercession with regard to the hereafter? What does it mean in the hereafter intercession?
Dua.
Yeah. Intercession in the hereafter means dua, supplication. That Allah the Most High will honor certain of His Allah the Most High will honor some of His servants by accepting their supplication, their du'a, which they make for some other people. That certain individuals, Allah will honor them in the hereafter from the believers by accepting their supplication on behalf of other people. So this is what shafa'ah means in the hereafter. Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned, however, there are two important conditions that we need to know for intercession to be acceptable. That it will not be accepted, and it's clear from many texts, intercession will not be accepted in the hereafter unless two conditions are fulfilled. Contrary to what some people, extreme Sufis of the like, think that intercession is a certain right granted to certain people, and they can give it to whoever they wish, and it's their right, and so on and so on. So Shaykh al-Fawzan made clear intercession will not be accepted in the hereafter except with two conditions. What were these two conditions? First one being, as I've mentioned, the permission of Allah. Allah the Most High permits that person to intercede. And the second one? Allah the Most High is pleased with the person who is being interceded for. That he is from the people of Iman, he is a believer, from the people of Tawheed. One of those who worship Allah alone, not people of Shirk. Who can remember something that came earlier in the book? So Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned here the second intercession. Earlier in the book we have the first intercession of those intercessions which are particular to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who can remember the first intercession? The first major intercession.
He was standing.
Yeah. And the first and major intercession is the major intercession. The Maqam al-Mahmood, the praiseworthy standing, that will be for only one of the creation. Which will be for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he will intercede with Allah, meaning he will prostrate and he will make dua, make supplication with words of supplication and praise of Allah that Allah will inspire him with, and he will make supplication that the judgment is begun. After people are in the standing place for a very long period of time and the sun is drawn close and they are drowned in their sweat to varying levels, then they will go to the different prophets, Adam alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam, through the prophets, until finally they go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him to intercede with Allah to begin the judgment. So that is the first intercession, which is particular to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the major intercession. What was then the second intercession that Shaykh al-Fawzan referred to in the explanation here, the second intercession, which is particular to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
People of Jannah, for them to be entered into Paradise.
Yeah. Intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regard to the opening of the gates of Paradise and the entry of the people of Paradise into Paradise. That one again is particular to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third intercession, which was particular to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his uncle Abu Talib, that his punishment should be reduced in the fire, not that he should be taken out of the fire, but that his punishment should be reduced. So as occurs in the hadith, he will be placed in a shallow part of the fire, which is such that because of the severity of the heat, his brain will boil. And he will think that he is the person who received the most severe punishment in the fire, but actually he's the one who received the least punishment in the fire. Then the author, Ibn Qudama, rahmahullah, still came up with a question. The author, Ibn Qudama, rahmahullah, mentioned an intercession which is shared between the prophets. Not to give to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but other prophets and others besides. Who can remember this shared intercession which he mentioned? Which intercession was that? The one which the author mentioned, that Shaykh al-Fawzan explained further in the explanation.
The more general one for the people of Major Sin.
Yeah. This was the intercession on behalf of the Ahlul Kabair. Intercession for those who were people guilty of major sins. Those who committed major sins in the life of this world, didn't repent from them, died upon them. So in the hereafter, these are the people who are beneath Allah's Mashi'a, beneath Allah's wish and will. So with it, people, as Shaykh al-Fawzan explained, people who either have actually entered the hellfire because of their sins, or who deserve entry into the fire. So intercession with regard to them, that those who have entered the fire should be taken out, or those who have not entered it but deserve to, that they don't enter into the fire. Who will be able to intercede for these people? Come on, I already said it. The messengers, the prophets, and the righteous. No, no. Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that two deviant sects deny this intercession. They deny the intercession with regard to the people, to the, those who were guilty of major sins. Which are these two deviant sects who deny this intercession? Yeah. Yet again, the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij. Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, hafidhahullah, that there will be some people who are believers who will enter the fire because of their sins, because they're guilty of major sins, that some of them will enter into the fire. But then they will be taken out. By what means will they be taken out? And he mentioned three means. One of the three is by the mercy of Allah. Some of them will be taken out by the mercy of Allah the Most High. Another means?
When the punishment is finished.
Yeah, another means is just that they are left in the fire until their punishment comes to an end. And then they're taken out. And the first one?
Because of the intercession of the
intercessor. Yeah. What we've already referred to, those who are taken out through the intercession of those who intercede. Prophets and the messengers and the righteous and so on, the angels and so on. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, mentioned that as for those people who seek intercession, there are some people, and in fact there are many people, who seek intercession from the dead. They go to the grave and they seek intercession from the dead. Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that intercession is a right of Allah and can be sought only from Allah. And with regard to those people who go to the grave and request intercession from the dead, from the inhabitants of the grave, what did Shaykh al-Fawzan say about their action?
Major shirk.
Yeah, he said that their action is major shirk, because it involves worshipping other than Allah, directing worship to other than Allah, directing dua, which is worship, to other than Allah, directing worship to those who are dead, and not to Allah, and asking them for intercession. And it is not their right. Intercession is the right of Allah, and it is requested only from Allah. And finally, what benefit will the unbelievers obtain from intercession? Yeah. As for the unbelievers, then they will not benefit from intercession. With only one exception, as we heard, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib, because of his defense of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will be placed in a lighter part of the fire, in the least part of the fire, but still he will remain in the hellfire forever, and his brain will boil because of it. As for every other unbeliever deciding, they will not benefit whatsoever from the intercession of those who intercede. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah, he continues the section, what is the end of this particular section, and it occurs on page 223 of the Egyptian book. Page 218 of the Saudi print, that Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah continues, وَالْجَنَّةُ وَالنَّارُ مَخْلُوقَتَانِ لَا تَحْنِيَانِ. And paradise and the fire are both already created, and they will not pass away. And paradise and Jannah and the fire and Naar are both created, already created, and they will not pass away. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, said in explanation, from that which will be in existence on the day of resurrection, tis al-Jannah, paradise, and an-Naar, the fire. and there are two abodes which will remain. Paradise and Jannah is the abode for the muttaqeen, for the people of taqwa, those who are fearful of Allah and dutiful to Allah. And the fire is the abode of the kafirin, of the unbelievers. And they are both created now. And they are both created already. It does not mean that they will be created on the day, or it does not mean that they will be created on the day of resurrection. Rather, they are both already created now. Then Shaykh Fawzan gives evidence for this. He said, just as he the Most High said regarding paradise, al-Jannah, u'iddat lil-muttaqeen, Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, Ayah 133, that it is already prepared. U'iddat in the past tense, in the completed sense. Completed tense, it has already been prepared for the people of taqwa, for those who are useful to Allah. And he said with regard to the fire, for iddat lil kafirin, Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 24, with the explanation, it is already prepared for the unbelievers. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan himself explained this word that occurs in both of these ayahs. Says, and the meaning of u'iddat, literally it has been prepared, is that it is created and is present. And just as occurs in his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا تَجِدُونَهُمْ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْحَرْرِ وَشِدَّةِ الْبَرْدِ مِنْ أَنْفَاسِ جَهَنَّمْ فَإِنَّ شِدَّةَ الْحَرْرِ مِنْ خَيْحِ جَهَنَّمْ. The saying of the Prophet ﷺ, that which you experience from severe heat and severe cold is from the breathing in and out of the fire of hell. So the severe heat is from the excess heat of the fire. In a footnote here, I mentioned this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and reported by Al-Bukhari. You'll find it there as hadith number 536 and 537, and also reported by Muslim from a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so this shows that it is already present. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ explained with regard to the severe heat in the peak of summer and the severe cold in the peak of winter. This comes about through the breathing out or the breathing in of the hellfire. It's something that's already happening now. So in other words, the hellfire already exists. Shaykh al-Fawzan then said, so this shows that it is already present and that Allah has made for it two breaths. A breath in the winter time. And that is what the people experience from severe cold. And a breath in the summer. And that is what the people experience from severe heat. So that shows that it is already present. And the hadith is there, the side point, and the hadith is there indicating the footnote, there are a few different wordings of it. Next part of it, obviously, is a longer hadith. This contains the wording that the hellfire complained to Allah the Most High that from its severe heat, some parts of it were devouring other parts. So therefore Allah gave it some respite, that Allah gave it a breathing in and a breathing out. One in the winter and one in the summer. To give some respite to the fire itself. And then the rest of the next part of the hadith is what occurred in the text here. So that is what the people experience from the severe heat and the severe cold. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said, And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, given a further evidence here, and he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was sitting amongst his companions when they heard a crash, meaning they heard something fall. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا هَذَا? Do you know what this was? So they said, اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. They said, Allah and His Messenger know best. He said, إِنَّهَا لَحَجَرٌ رُمَّ بِهِ مِنْ شَخِيرِ جَهَنَّمَ مُنْدُ سَبْعِينَ خَرِيفًا فَالْآنَ وَصَرَ إِلَىٰ قَعْرِهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded by saying, it was a rock which had been thrown down from the edge of the hellfire 70 years ago. So it has just now reached its bottom. And for 70 years that rock had been falling down and down and down at the hellfire, until when they heard the crash, that was the sound of it hitting the bottom of the hellfire. In a book that they mentioned, reported by Ahmad in Musnad and by Muslim, and Ibn Hibban from a hadith again of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Shaykh al-Fardan said, so this shows that the fire is in existence now, and paradise is likewise. I think it's a further evidence. And the fact that the dead person, when he is placed in his grave, there comes to him either bliss from paradise or commission from the fire. This shows that they are present in existence. And a gate to paradise will be opened for him, or a gate of the fire will be opened for him. So this shows that they are present in existence now. And that the saying that they will be created on the day of resurrection is a false saying. And likewise, and so that all of this proves, all of these texts prove that the paradise is in existence now. It's been previously created. It's in existence now. And likewise the hellfire. Then he moves on to the next point. And within this point, and likewise the paradise and the fire will not pass away. And they will never fade away. And their inhabitants will remain forever in them. The inhabitants of paradise will remain forever in paradise. And the inhabitants of the fire will remain forever in the hellfire. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah, rahimahullah, he said, Al-Jannatu ma'wa awliya'ihi. وَالنَّارُ إِقَابٌ لِأَعْدَائِهِ. So paradise will be the dwelling place of his beloved and obedient servants, and the fire will be a punishment for his enemies. So paradise will be the dwelling place of his beloved and obedient servants, his awliya, and the fire will be a punishment for his enemies. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, Al-Jannah, paradise, is the abode of reward for his beloved and obedient servants. And the Nar, the hellfire, is a punishment for his enemies as a recompense for their kufr, for their unbelief. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah continued, أهل الجنة فيها مخلدون والمجرمون في عذاب جهنم خالدون لا يفتر عنهم وهم فيه مبلسون. The ayah from Surah Al-Zukhruf, 43rd Surah, ayah 74-75. And it became a printing error, crept into the middle of this ayah. It should be after في عذاب جهنم خالدون. There is a lam alif crept in there, which should just be the marking the end of an ayah. It shouldn't be any lam alif there. then there's one stake acid. In other words, they put two in the text and show you one. The ayah from Surah Zukhruf, or two ayahs from Surah Zukhruf, 43, 43rd Surah, ayah 74, 75, with the exclamation. The inhabitants of paradise will remain in it forever, and the unbelieving criminals, then he mentioned the ayah, the two parts of the ayah, part of the ayah and the second ayah, with explanation, they will be in the torment of hellfire, remaining in it forever. It will not be lightened for them, and they will be in despair in it. They will be in it in despair. Shaykh al-Qaradan, Hafizullah, said in explanation, this is one of the proofs that the hellfire will remain and persist. إِنَّ الْمُجْرِمِينَ فِي عَذَابِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ Same ayah, Surah Al-Zukhruf, 43rd Surah, ayah 74, with the explanation again. The criminals, the unbelieving criminals, will be in the torment of hellfire, remaining in it forever. Then Shaykh Razan explained this word, خالدون. He said, and الخلود means remaining permanently, such that it never ceases. And they remain there permanently forever. This will never stop. لَا يُفَتَّرُ أَنْهُمْ وَهُمْ فِيهِ مُبْلِسُونَ And I mentioned the second ayah, the explanation, it will not be lessened for them, it will not be lightened for them, and they will be in despair in it. Shaykh al-Azam said, they will be despairing of the mercy of Allah. وَمَا ذَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا هُمُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَنَادَعُوا يَا مَالِكَ Shaykh al-Qaradan here continues the continuation of these ayahs from the ayahs which come after ayah 76 to 77 and Surah Al-Zukhruf with explanation, and we did not oppress them, but rather they oppressed their own souls, and they will call out, O Malik. Shaykh al-Qaradan said, Malik is the custodian of the fire. The unbelievers in the fire, they'll call out, O Malik. The Shaykh al-Qaradan explains, who is this Malik? They call out to. The Malik is the custodian, the keeper of the fire. لِيَعْفِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ Continuation of the ayah, that they will say, let your Lord put an end to us. Shaykh al-Qaradan said, they will seek from the angel that he should intercede for them with Allah for them to be killed off, that life should leave them so that they can have relief. They will wish for death. Death will be their hope and Allah's refuge is sought. Death will be their only, their vain hope. لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ That they will say, let your Lord put an end to us. Shaykh al-Qaradan said, so what will the answer be? And the Saifun and some of the Imam al-Tabari in the Tafsir, he mentions this answer, he mentions a number of sayings about how long the answer will be in coming. He mentions about 100 years or 1,000 years or a very long time that they will be kept waiting. Wallahu a'lam. Anyway, Shaykh al-Qaradan, Hafizullah, he said, what will the answer be? قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ In Surah Al-Zukhruf, 43rd Surah, Ayah 77, he will say, you shall remain in it forever. Shaykh al-Qaradan said, remaining forever and ever, so that they despair and the whole refuge is sought, in the despair of ever coming out of it. And the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continues, وَيُؤْتَى بِالْمَوْتِ فِي صُورَةِ كَبْشٍ أَمْلَحٍ فَيُضْبَحُ بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ. And death will be brought in the form of a white and black ram, and it will be slaughtered between paradise and the fire. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation of this word amlah, and the explainers mentioned a ram which is amlah, it's one which is mostly white but has some traces of black within it. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, when the people of paradise enter paradise and the people of the fire enter the fire, death will be brought in the form of a white and black ram. Obviously, ram means a female, a male sheep, a ram, a male sheep. And it will be slaughtered between paradise and the fire. So it will be said, O people of paradise, eternity without any death. And O people of the fire, eternity without any death. Well, this part should continue with the text there, really. That the text should be continued. Well, you're there, because the explanation follows on from the end of this, really. وَيُؤْتَى بِالْمَوْتِ فِي صُورَةِ كَبْشٍ أَمْلَحَ فَيُذْبَحُ بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ ثُمَّ يُقَالُ يَا أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ خُلُودٌ بِلَا مَوْتٍ وَيَا أَهْلَ النَّارِ خُلُودٌ بِلَا مَوْتٍ. That, he said, and death will be brought in the form of a white and black ram, and it will be sacrificed between paradise and the fire. Then it will be said, O people of paradise, eternity with no death, and O inhabitants of the fire, eternity with no death. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, said in explanation, when the people of paradise enter the paradise, and the people of the fire enter the fire, death will be brought in the form of a white and black ram, and it will be sacrificed between paradise and the fire. And it will be said, O inhabitants of paradise, for you is eternity with no death. And O inhabitants of the fire, for you is eternity with no death. So then the inhabitants of the fire will despair of getting out of it. And what is meant by death here is not malakul maut. What is meant by death here in this hadith being slaughtered, it is not the angel of death. The angel of death will not die and will not be slaughtered. Rather, death, and death itself, al-maut, death will be given a form on the day of resurrection, and it will be in the form of a ram. And Allah is fully able to make non-physical things into objects and individuals. In death, simply that, as we see it when we don't experience it as a physical thing, so he makes the point, but Allah the Perfect is fully able to make non-physical things into actual objects and into individuals. He the Perfect and Most High is fully able to do that. And just as a footnote before, that's where this section ends, just a footnote on the hadith itself, the hadith about the slaughtering of death. Then they mention this is hadith is reported by Ahmad ibn Musnad and by al-Bukhari as hadith 4730, and by Muslim from a hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. And that's where this section on Iman in the affairs of the hidden and the unseen finishes, and then it's followed by a section which we'll just read one page from, where we'll look at the page explaining heading from, inshallah. So he brings a new section, Faslun fi haqqi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ashabihi. Section or chapter regarding the rights of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. On the section, so the section here on Iman in the affairs of the Ghaib, the hidden and unseen, that comes to an end, now something different begins. Chapter regarding the right of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his companions. So Shaykh al-Fawzan, he explains this heading here, and then after giving the explanation, we'll leave the text and the explanation of that for next time, inshallah. So he says, in explanation of this title, this heading, and this chapter, the author, Rahimahullah, having spoken at the beginning of this aqeedah, this creed, about Iman in Allah, and Iman in His angels, and His books, and His messengers, and in the last day, and Iman in Al-Qadr, the decree. After that, he brought this chapter to explain the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the rights of his companions, and the rights of his wives, in order that the Muslim should be upon basira, knowledge and insight regarding that which the deviant sects and the innovators disagree about, with regard to the rights of the companions, and with regard to the rights of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and other than this. So that these deviant sects and these doubts which these misguided people bring do not affect them. So that the Muslim is upon knowledge and insight. As the Shaykh has indicated here, there are people of the deviant sects who have contradicted the truth in this regard, with regard to the rights of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with regard to the rights of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So because of that fact, he brings this section here, so that the Muslim upon the Sunnah should not be misled by the deviant sects, and not be misled by their deviant ideas, and the doubts which they bring in this regard. As many people are these days. So then the Shaykh said, this is the reason for mentioning in the text the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the rights of his companions, and the rights of his wives alayhi salatu wa sallam. That is because the rights of his companions and the rights of his wives enter within the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the right of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the fundamental matter, and these enter within his sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's right, and the right to his companions and the right to his wife, they fall under and follow on from his right. And this is an important section which it is obligatory to give attention to and to have awareness of its rulings. And likewise, in this section, he mentioned the rights of the Muslims and not performing takfir, not declaring the Muslim to be an unbeliever, a kafir, on account of a sin which he has committed, and not having ghulu, not exceeding the bounds with regard to individuals, and that judgment is not to be made for anyone that he will be in paradise or in the fire without a proof from the Book of Allah or the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Since all of these are matters, or since all of these matters are things which many of the people of misguidance have fallen into, all that's just been mentioned here, many of the people of the demon sect have committed that. Declared Muslims to be unbelievers, gone beyond the limits, having ruled with regard to certain individuals, declaring people, certain individuals being in paradise without a text, certain other individuals being in the fire without a text, and so on. The Sheikh said, so since all of these matters are things which many of the people of misguidance have fallen into, and they have contradicted the truth regarding them. So therefore it is obligatory upon the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to clarify and clearly explain that. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Then we move on to the text, and we'll leave the text with the explanation for next time, inshallah. And the point of clarification. Sheikh Rafimid mentions in his explanation is he mentions a section on the place of paradise and the place of the hellfire. So Sheikh Rafimid mentions that for Jannah and for paradise, then it is in the highest of the high places, and as for Jahannam, the hellfire, then it is in the lowest of the low places. What Shaykh Rabin mentioned, paradise is in the highest of the high places, and the fire is in the lowest of low places. And as Shaykh Rabin clarified, and both are in existence at the moment. As is indicated by those many texts, from them, the hadith of the stone, the one companion said the crash, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that was a stone which had been pushed from the edge, from the precipice at the edge of the hellfire, been pushed, thrown down into the hellfire, been falling down and down and down for 70 years, and it hit the bottom. His lesson is not tomorrow, but will be from now on Wednesday, inshallah.
Yeah.